Fire up 13 flight controllers, listen up. Give me a go, no go for launch. Public nudity.
Go.
Legal narcotics.
Go.
Dog shagging.
We'll go flat.
Bubbler.
Bubbler's go.
Poo in the shoe.
Go flight.
Road rage.
Go flight.
Roid rage.
We'll go.
Brown paper bags.
Go.
Eclipse containers.
Go.
Chinese restaurants.
Go flight.
Peanut butter photography.
Go.
Billy Idol. Billy Idol. Billy Idol.
Just wait for some power.
Breezers.
Where are go?
Phantom biters.
Lighters go.
Fingers and dates.
Where go flight?
Launch control. This is Fire Up 13. We are go for launch.
The good ship, Fire Up, is still cruising and coming back around the moon in a near disaster mission, but still moving forward, still afloat. We're still alive, Chris Gale and myself, Stephen Ferris. We've ventured ourselves so far that we've actually landed down from Sri Lanka and Hong Kong in a quest for the vision that was laid down by a former great. Chris Gale, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen Ferris. What did Apollo 13 do? It sort of, I want to say free range trajectory, but I think that's something to do with chickens.
Yeah, so the bird's eye.
But we slingshotted around the room and around the moon, and you and I ended up in the far flung wilds of Sri Lanka and Hong Kong, spreading the good word of rugby league.
Yeah, we met up at the airport last night as I was frisking you. I noticed you look good in underwear, Chris, coming back from Hong Kong yourself. And what did you find that John Rebo de Bresac had left behind as a vision for you and I to engage the NRL in as a future forward looking concept?
Well, John Rebo de Bresac, and I did do my research, because of course most people will know him as John Rebo from Super League. Former winger, started at Fortitude Valley of all places. Who knew they had a team?
And let's not Aussify the French. The French deserve more.
Well,
they're in the final of some other code.
Look, I am all over Croatia. Yeah. I so want Croatia to win.
Oh, look, I'm a Francophile now these days.
Is that right?
Yes, I am.
You are wearing a sort of a horizontal striped T-shirt and a beret. And was that a baguette I saw with your morning coffee?
Chunk of cheese. I came in on my bike with my basket. Thank you very much. Just as long as the English are out there, I think that's
well. Well, as I said, there was nothing more upsetting for me than when Cronulla finally won the premiership. Because we had that, you know, not since 1967. Yeah. At least for England, we can go not since 1966.
I was so numb, I couldn't even cry. And I had this woman come up to me at the ground saying, can you play horses? Because, you know, it's a big anthem down south. I said, is that right?
That betting ad where, you know, the two tribes are singing horses and you're the voice, I am on a campaign to have both those songs rubbed out of the popular lexicon, and they can throw in Sweet Caroline at the same time. Gladys Berejiklian and Malcolm Turnbull, if you cannot issue an edict that those three tunes should be banned from all sporting fixtures going forward.
As if they've got any vision, Chris.
Well...
Well, I brought back from Sri Lanka, would you believe, of all the ginjoids in the world, there I was sitting in a bar looking over the Indian Ocean, and who but turns up with his little kit and his Watch NRL app?
John Rebo?
No, Damien Cook's brother.
Wow.
Wow. I had royalty sitting next to me.
Please tell me you didn't say... So, Damien, he was a former beach sprinter.
A beach sprinter.
Because, again, Ray Rabbits Warren did it in the coverage. It's like the former jockey, what's his name, who used to play for Queensland.
He's very good at sprinting on soft turf.
Wow, he's good out of dummy half.
Dummy half, straight out the bat. And...
Simon was his name, Simon Cook?
Simon Cook.
Nice guy?
Nice guy. Seemed to know the rules better than I did. I go, come on. He goes, no, that's fair.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. They go, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I hate them. Their teams are doing well. Yeah. Right? You know, when they make, no, that's a reasonable call. They're in the top. Well, in fact, that's you.
All right. Well, we take our packages, our information, as Fire Up the Mission 13, collected from around the galaxy, the universe, and the globe, and, of course, Asia, our back door. Now, Chris, if you want to get involved in Fire right now, and there are always some reasons why you will want to get involved, you can text us here, 0409 945 945. We like your input here. And you thought we'd gone away. No, we're back.
It's only 2 weeks. John Rebo sent me up to Hong Kong because it's a foothold into China. Because, you know, that was always his vision in Super League, was to take the game to China.
And Chris, you might have heard about this Belt and Road Initiative. The Belts and Road. The Chinese are laying out roadways and railways everywhere around the world.
Is that right?
And buying up harbours just so they can get the whole thing lock, stock and barrel to make rugby league easier to come in.
That was actually a conversation I had in Hong Kong. People saying, I hear China's buying up a lot of property in Sydney. And I said, well, who wouldn't? Look at the views, the harbour, the climate. Yeah. It's tremendous.
Tremendous. But when that big bus, the big storm bus wants to get to, you know, to China, they've got a brand new freeway ready to go.
Right.
We had a hand in that. We recommended that.
Any Chinese interest in the St. George Illawarra joint venture, which I believe both sides are pretty much up for purchase, or is it just the Qataris and the Wynn family?
No, and you know, and can I just say hello, Cronulla Sutherland? Does anybody remember an episode many years ago? And now I believe it's the Abraham family collecting a Middle Eastern rich family to buy out Cronulla Sutherland.
Is that right?
Isn't that lovely?
What's happened with that big development where they're going to have the roller coaster in the theme park down there on the swamp and all those apartments?
That's a little on smelly ground. That
it's not
one.
Going so
shaky
well.
Shaky ground, yes. But nice to see the Middle Eastern family moving into Cronulla and taking over the rugby league team.
Sure.
Look,
the only way that Rebo's vision is going to be delivered is foreign investment. Because we just don't have the grunt here, Stephen. I don't know if you know much about the local venture capital market, it's so hard to get an idea off the ground.
Yeah, look, it's going to be the death of the economy, no doubt about it. I don't know if Malcolm Turnbull's thought of this, but cheap loans are hard to come by these days. Money is tough. And look, and you did mention the Chinese. I know one of the big issues they've got is that, they haven't got, is that Beattie, of course, came out and said, we need more Chinese playing
the
game.
Did.
He said that. And we agree. We totally agree. We endorse that.
We love the fact that we had Magistrate Beattie on this show, and he continues to just be so descriptive on Twitter. Mm. You know, gives us TV ratings down, attendances down, but still manages to hashtag talk the game up, and that's what a true leader needs to do.
Have we got the numbers for State of Origin yet?
Well, I think they shed about 1.3 million viewers over the three games. Now, I don't know whether they were perhaps watching the other tournament or saving up for Ninja Warrior. Apparently not. I don't know where it's going. I mean, I'm seeing a trend here, Stephen, which probably no one's ever seen this, but I think people are watching less television.
Is that right?
Yeah. They're using other devices.
You have a vision, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, listen, Chris, State of Origin is over, done and dusted. We're back to business now.
You got to watch it. Is that what I'm hearing with
Damon? It's in Sri Lanka, looking over the ocean.
I don't want to be critical of Watch NRL, the overseas app, but I paid my weekly subscription and it continuously dropped down.
I think it was the carrier.
You think so?
I think so, because we watched it perfectly.
Okay.
Chris. Everybody loves Mal.
Turnbull?
Meninga. As HG and Roy say, smell my finger. Everybody loves Mal.
I wouldn't put myself in that category.
Okay, why not?
A number of reasons. First of all, what is the Australian coach doing on a show called Queenslanders Only? I mean, that just seems to be conflict of interest from the get-go.
Do you think Queenslanders think this through that in such minute detail?
Probably not.
No.
Secondly, he said whoever is the winning captain of the Origin team will be the Australian captain.
Well, that'd be Billy Slater, wouldn't it? Hello?
Well, it should be Board Cordner, but I put my house on Greg Inglis being the Australian captain because Meninga charts his own course.
Right.
And now, of course, he's been embroiled in yet another controversy.
So let's unpack this for those who don't follow Rugby League. And we do appreciate there are a few listeners who like to tune in. They drop the keys at school. They have a listen. They go, what's this nonsense? 0409945945. If you'd like to come on board about this whole, this brouhaha that's been developing. You know, I'm not talking about the stink that happened at Rugby at the State of Origin, but about the medal of the best player in the series. The series that was won by New South Wales.
2-1.
2-1.
The appropriately named Wally Lewis medal.
The Wally Lewis medal. Wouldn't you like to have a Wally Lewis medal hanging around your neck?
Why is it named after Wally? Shouldn't it be the Lewis Kenny medal or something? Something conciliatory? Exactly.
Yes.
Shouldn't you have a voting panel that would be bipartisan?
Because when you look at the logo for Origin, it's a blue and a maroon man coming together, nose to nose.
In balance.
Right? Yeah, in balance. So a medal should represent both states.
Equal
the
representation.
Wally Lewis medal. What's wrong with the Peter Sterling Wally Lewis medal?
You may as well just call it the gerrymander medal, I tell you.
Exactly. Well, that's in Queensland medal.
Exactly. Hello, Dennis Carnahan.
So anyway, so this medal for the best player in the series. Now, sorry, who won the series again?
Okay, let me do the maths. New South Wales, 2-1 New South Wales.
2-1 New South Wales. Yeah. Okay. there was a belated entry in. God, admit he's a good player, you know, but he wasn't there the first game, was he?
Former beach sprinter Billy Slater.
Second game, lost. Third game, just won.
squeaked home.
And the back of the Telegraph today, what does it say? It says total bullshit. Total bullshit.
Well, I was going to say it says total BS.
Lockie declares play of the series vote wasn't even close. That apparently there wasn't a New South Wales player within cooey of Billy Slater.
Something about splitting votes or something.
Splitting votes. Now, who are the voting people?
Okay, let's
break it down.
I think we've got Darren Lockyer,
Queenslander.
Queenslander. Yeah. Laurie Daly,
New South Wales. One on one. That's fair.
Seems right. And then, of course, the Australian coach. Mal Meninga.
Queenslander. I think he was a former cop from Roma, wasn't he?
Indeed.
I think he left the force with some question. And politician once upon a time.
For 26 seconds, was
26
it?
26 seconds.
Yeah, I'm buggered.
So I trust him.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Look, everybody loves DCE. Is he not the man that we all love now?
I'm a DCE booster.
You are, aren't
yeah,
you?
And yeah. And I'm really excited.
Did that cost you money?
Well, except I don't know if you got a chance to see the from Sri Lanka the post game vision.
I did not.
When I came back from my diplomatic mission trying to spread the game to China, I taped the whole thing. And in the post game, this I found it moving footage of DC, of course, talking to nobody, and he's got a can of Forex in the hand. And he goes,
"So he's never no friends."
Yeah, that's right. And you know this stuff of him being welcomed back into the team. I don't know if you saw him try and hug Billy Slater in the immediate aftermath.
Ooh,
of the
that's
win.
Not nice, is it?
And you know, well done, Billy. What a great career. And so he's sort of kind of brushed. And anyway, DC has got a can of Forex, and he goes to the fridge and he pulls out three bottles of water because he thinks how good is Origin free stuff.
Yes,
but I don't know. I feel that if we went on eBay right now, if eBay's still a thing, you might find half-drunk bottles of water as drunk by DCE.
As taken out of the Queensland fridge.
That's right, yeah.
Because if you look at Brookie, they got no dough at all.
Well,
it's in disrepair. They can't even get new grass down that way, right?
They can't afford a football team, apparently, in terms of they've got no coaching staff.
No.
You know, they've got Trent Barrett doing multiple roles.
Roles, yeah.
Badly.
Yeah. And, you know, for all the big talk of Tony Abbott, nothing. Zip.
Come up with Zippo.
So, I don't blame him for taking three bottles of water.
No.
Do you see it?
And by the way, all Manly can do is come up with a 10th celebration of their 40-0 whooping of the Melbourne Storms this weekend.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That is.
When Dylan Walker and Curtis Scott come back together to share
what
pleasantries.
What did they nickname that game? Was it...
Well... That grand final? Well, it wouldn't be the Battle of Brookie.
Because
they were out at ANZ, I guess.
But wasn't there one where they all took out the sideline? There was fights galore.
Yeah, well, the same season, actually.
Same season,
so the precursor was, of
course,
Glenn Stewart got put in the bin.
Yes, that's right.
And then it might have been Chech from memory was the ref. I don't know. Whoever it was tried to stagger the exit. So he gave Adam Blair a long lecture before Blair was put in the bin. Mm-hmm. And Stewart walked off to the sideline and Blair jogged. And, of course, physics suggests that they came together and then it was all on.
Right.
And that was the Battle of Brookie.
But that's not what they're celebrating.
No.
They're idiots. I mean, really?
Oh, Battle of Brookie was 2012.
That'll do me.
Which was obviously reflecting the 2008 angst.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'd celebrate that. They were smart. They want to get the punters in. That's what they celebrate. Yeah.
That's right.
Chris, there's some forgotten men we'll talk about in a minute. And you just mentioned one of them just then, Matt Chicken. But we'll get back to that sad story in a little while.
That is a sad story.
Yeah. Look, everybody loves Cam. That's a given.
Well, do they, Stephen, would be the question that I think is on everyone's lips this morning. Because Cam seems to be... I don't know if you've ever seen a more lonely figure than DCE trying to take the waters out of the fridge.
Yes.
It was probably Cam Smith on the commentary panel with Fatty Vorton and, Gus and Gallen. I mean, this is where he's had to resort to become friends with those guys because no one currently playing the game seems
What's
to like him anymore.
Right. Gee, the downfall's fast, hasn't it?
Well...
So what we say is nobody loves... Cam.
Karma's a bitch, Steve.
Yeah, Karma's a bitch. It says here, this is during the week, I have no problems with Cameron Smith, Billy Slater. Well, he's going to say that because he wants to be the middle winner, the Wally Lewis middle winner.
He's
going to do everything right.
He's got the captaincy.
Yep.
He's got the farewell, the lap of honour.
He's got it all.
And he's got the Wally Lewis medal coming his way. Because let's face it, he knew he was getting it.
He knew he was getting
there
it.
There was no question about whether he was going to win it.
And he's got a lovely wife.
Lovely wife.
Now, you want to talk about, I think, wives and girlfriends and their influence?
No, I don't think I want to talk about that, Stephen, because I think that's controversial, and we try and shy away from controversy on this show.
Right.
But certainly there is a lot of rumours swirling about the influence of partners in the game, and that harmony off the field doesn't necessarily translate to success on the field.
But certainly disharmony certainly doesn't help.
No, well, I don't know. The story
what has happened at Melbourne when suddenly the big three are not the big three anymore?
That continue to keep winning. I think they've won five in a row and will probably win the Battle of Brookie or whatever it is this weekend.
Geez, you're breaking my heart there, Chris.
In other words, it doesn't matter what's happening in your personal life.
No.
You can get there on the field.
Bellamy will still do the job.
Settle your differences and get on with it. Because you've got... By the way, I know we're sort of free-ranging here a little bit, a little bit like we're doing that slingshot back from the moon. But did you catch? You might have been away, but did you catch the Melbourne Storm's St George Dragons result?
Post event, I got the result.
Did you see Ryan Hoffman just on half time fracture the St George Illawarra line and score a, basically what looked like a length of the field try?
I did not.
And Gus Gould said he's got the elixir of youth. I mean, is this where we've
Have you seen that face? That's not the elixir of youth. Yeah. There's nothing, Greek story about that.
Have we been getting it wrong? Yeah. Well, Narcissus would be Cameron Smith. But have we been getting it wrong for so long that it's not a matter of robotics and cybernetics and the leading technology, that in fact Bellamy's an alchemist and he's actually found the holy grail that we've all been looking for?
Yes, yes. Then
the elixir of youth.
So tell me, why would Cameron Smith then retire from rep footy so quickly? If he's got the elixir of youth.
Well, you know, I accept what he said, that, you know, he was struggling physically after last year's series and it took him the best part of 11 months to work out what those signals were.
Right. You don't think love's got anything to do with it?
Love's seldom got anything to do
with it.
No, but, you know, sometimes, you know, well, you know what I say, you know, happy life, happy wife. Yeah. I never say that. I say happy girlfriend, we've all got to die someday. And I think that's probably what Cameron has looked into the abyss. And he said, I played 42 Origins.
Jesus.
I'm not going to be immortal playing 43 or 44. I've already done it.
Right. Yeah. Too clever. Everybody loves a touchy.
Oh, don't they love a touchy?
They love a touchy. And you know what my favourite ads on television?
I do know what your favourite ads on television. Where
the guy, the lifesaver who needs glasses. And only rescues, instead of a girl, it's a seal or something, you know? Or he whacks somebody because he can't see properly. Now, surely that's an ad for Specsavers, isn't
right,
it?
Right, yeah. So you're referring to the Addo Carr incident?
Yeah, I am indeed.
How much turf was between Addo Carr's boot and the chalk?
Daylight.
Yeah, exactly. And the flag went up. Apparently the touch...
3 seconds before he got there.
He was being influenced by people off the field.
Put it up.
The Queensland crowd, maybe?
Look, everybody loves Jerry Sutton.
Jerry.
Everybody loves Jerry.
Well, Bernie loves him.
Bernie loves Jerry.
He keeps appointing him as Origin referee. Yeah,
yeah. They had it wasn't a weekend, it was a weekday, wasn't it? A weekend with the Suttons, that's for sure. Can we talk about Chicken? Was he not voted the best ref in the code by everybody? All the professionals, the experts. They went to us. We said yes, that Chicken, number one.
Him? Yeah. Didn't get a look in.
Disappeared.
I don't know.
Where is he?
I don't know.
Gone.
He was an assistant referee at some stage recently. That's how bad it's got.
Everybody loves a DJ, of course.
Well.
I no longer call myself a DJ.
Really? When did you stop calling yourself?
No one loves me anymore. So.
What are you now? Sort of a tastemaker?
Oh, don't start there.
A curator?
Don't do that to me.
An electronic dance musician? An influencer. I've seen how many followers you've got on Instagram. You are not an influencer.
No, don't crucify. No, exactly. Yeah.
But I think it's not so much that everybody loves a DJ, it's that everybody is a DJ.
Yes, including Ciro.
Yes.
Now, the big man, the biggest man in rugby league, Paul Surinen, ex-West Tyre giant man, apparently he's the go-to guy for the New South Wales Blues when they're in the Blues.
Yes, he's the gear steward.
Yeah.
So he drives the gear to...
The gear steward.
Far-flung places like Melbourne and Brisbane.
Has he got a system in the truck?
Yes, he has. He's got a big, booming system.
Yeah. Is he a digital DJ?
I think he's actually one of the modern phenomenon of DJs, which like ruins every party you can possibly go to. I'll just plug in my iPhone. Is there anything worse?
Someone going out with their iPhone.
They go to a party and they've got an iPhone plugged into some tinny speakers and just people crowding around at jumping tracks.
Yeah,
but that's what Ciro does.
Or come out and say, you can just play it off this. It's on Spotify.
So he just he drives the van up to Coogee at the training facility, opens up the back, plugs the iPhone into the speakers and programs the music to get the blues out of their blues.
But he's not a gazelle. Doesn't open the back and say, hey, I've got a whole lot of... What would you like?
No, that's not Ciro's go.
None of that stuff. Not his go.
No.
Now, see, he's old enough to be old school vinyl, but he obviously didn't collect vinyl in the day. So he has to rely upon his iPhone, did you say?
Spent all his money on head tape.
Head tape, exactly. So, well, this is good news. Now, we all know Imagine Dragons was the favourite tune of
Whatever It Takes.
Of our magic man, Fiddler.
Yeah, well, because he's actually searching for a more permanent candidate for the blues song.
Right.
But he appropriated the Imagine Dragons little aphorism there just for this season.
Right, okay. Now, what was Ciro's choice?
Starship.
Starship, we built this city. Can we have Starship for the end of the year? This is Fire Up. We'll be back in just a moment. Cody plays the mama. take it off. Go on, take it off. That's no good. That's no good. That's no good. Surely not.
I tell you what, though. Grace Slick, I think, is about 73 now. Ish. In rude health. To get Starship... You know, can you imagine a sort of a tribute Jefferson Airplane through Jefferson Starship into Starship for the grand final entertainment?
I can see that as a show that you'd go and see.
I'd be there. Move aside Cole Chisel. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah. So, okay. Look, everybody loves Trevor Gilmeister, don't they?
The Axe.
The Axe. What's he been up to? Is he helping his brother out?
Gilmeister's got a brother?
Has he?
I don't know.
What's he been up to?
Well, he was... there was a... One of the things you got to hand it to the Queenslanders. Mm. Not only did they manage to win the Wally Lewis medal despite losing the series and handing it to a guy who only played two out of the three games in a losing series.
And Chris, I did not see the ending, but I can assume that... The Blues won the series, right?
That's correct.
What was it?
2-1.
2-1, okay. That's pretty good.
In fact, they wrapped it up after two games.
After two games.
So they're so dominant.
Right.
That's certainly led by some player.
And I'm assuming that straight away they brought the Blues team up for a celebration.
No. Okay. They had to farewell Cameron Smith, who was interviewed on stage by James Bracey.
What do you mean farewelling? Where's he going? Didn't he have a memorial at the beginning of the year? Didn't he do that already?
They had a tribute. They said, we've got to try and de-emphasise the fact that we've lost as much as possible.
Yeah.
So they had a tribute of the 12 former Queensland Origin captains.
Yeah. Okay. So
that was where the Axe was
so
on stage.
So they didn't have to bring Kronk up and Slater up, Smith up.
They bookended the whole thing. So you've got the tribute of the captains, and that's where the Axe, who had actually said to Gordon Tallis on his... Gordon's filmed this on his phone prior to... He goes, I might slip up here. I'm wearing football boots, because he was trainer mode, right? And sure enough, coming down the stairs, he did a Frank Lowy.
Yeah. Took a whoopsie.
Then we get the heartfelt farewell to Cam Smith.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we get the farewell to Billy at the end before the Blues get the shield.
What about JT?
JT was... And Kronk... Well, JT was up in the booth, but where was Kronk?
Yeah, but...
It's like knocking on the door of Suncor, let me in.
You remember the memorial for... The memorial, you know, for the farewell for JT and Cam, and everyone booed Cam.
Yes, at the...
So suddenly Cam gets a farewell, but JT doesn't?
Interesting.
What's going on there?
That's really interesting.
You know, the Queenslanders, they've got some sort of warped logic, haven't they? Different...
Yeah, I guess JT did announce his retirement last year, and so did Cooper, so they sort of... So yesterday's heroes.
Yesterday's heroes, yeah, fair enough, okay. Now, there's been another big issue, of course. Top of the ladder is South Sydney. Jesus, that sort of have a bad ring about it, doesn't it? You know, doesn't it? What?
You know what really galls me about South Sydney?
What?
Well, many things. but this Anthony Seibold character... He seems like a nice guy.
Don't tell me he is a nice guy.
Well, you know, like he was very, very magnanimous in saying, Robbie, you deserve to finish your career back in first grade and you will be running out against your mob with Benji Marshall, turning back the clock.
How well did that go?
Hopefully for a famous victory on Sunday.
You see, he's a cunning man, isn't he?
Yeah. And he says, I just want Matt McIlrick in exchange. You know, he goes to Harvard. He comes up with these ideas like, tactical periodization. There's got to be something wrong there. There's got to be something... There's got to be some evil lurking
we'll
in the heart
sniff
of Anthony
it out,
Seibold.
Chris.
This can't last.
That's why we went to Asia to find the dirt, didn't we?
Well, you know,
we're putting a file together.
You know, and then I don't know. There's a couple of likable players in South Sydney right now.
Well, you're kidding me, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm probably sorry. I'm a bit jet lagged.
And they're the four brothers that eat four chickens a day, right?
Well, the Burgi. Well, look at the Burgi. I mean, they couldn't catch influenza last year.
No.
And Seibold turns up and they're plucking balls out of the air and kicking. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, but in the indicators that tell you who's going to win the competition, you've got Manly not doing so well. You've got Trbojevic. Is that how you say their name? Two
Very
of them.
Good.
What do they eat?
A lot.
How much do they eat?
$700 a week.
A week in food.
That's
their
right bill.
But that'd be nothing compared to four chickens each multiplied by four Burgi. That's 16 chickens every single day, Chris. Even at rep. Well, okay, depends on where you shop,
well,
doesn't
Luke
it?
Is, I think Luke's gone home, so yeah. I think that's sort of down to 12.
Right.
Baker's dozen, one for Mrs. Burgess.
One for Mrs. Burgess. But I guess what we're having is a very Sydney story, isn't it? To shop at Brookvale, different than shopping at Redfern.
Right.
Same, you go to Woolies or Coles. Different prices.
So you couldn't take the Trbojevic bill...
No.
...and compare it to the Burgess bill...
No.
...without doing some sort of adjustment.
No, because Mrs. Trbojevic says it's about $700 down that way. I reckon if you went to Redfern, it's probably only about $5.
Right.
That's a guess. Because you know how they like to uplift things into those, fancied areas.
Silvertails.
Yeah. I mean, you go to Malcolm...
You pay the Silvertail premium.
You never hear Malcolm Turnbull complain about what he pays when he goes shopping at Point Pike.
Well, he doesn't pay.
He doesn't pay. That's right.
No, you know what it's like when the Prime Minister turns up to a Coles or a Woolworths.
Yeah.
They go, Mr. Prime Minister, they shut the store.
Right.
And then he's just able to wheel down the aisles and grab whatever he likes.
But Mrs. Trbojevic, Melissa said, there's a lot of food. It's a lot of shopping, a lot of cooking. The trolley is full of meat, chicken, vegetables, fruit, and a bit of junk food. More for the younger ones, right?
Yeah, okay. The kids.
The cheeky pair even.
Because you know what? There's a younger Trbojevic, and you think the current ones are good. Wait till you see the new one.
It's like the Morris kiddies. The cheeky pair have even swapped the night of cooking instead of paying board. Wow.
By the way, you just skated over the Morris kiddies there. How do you feel about the news that Josh has gone to Cronulla?
Look, you know when you sign a pact with the devil? Once you've done it, you've done it.
That's right.
Either which way, their souls are tarnished forever, amen. Slippy's spinning in his... He's not even dead yet, you know?
he feels like he is, though.
He feels like he's spinning in his grave.
His son's played for Canterbury and Cronulla. It must be tearing you apart.
But Melissa and John, that's mum and dad, Trbojevic, they don't pay board, really, but that's why they cook. That's their thing. How often are they at home to cook, I say to you?
No, they're really good. One of the things about the Trbojevic is they continuously feel good. They're down refereeing kiddies' footies.
Yeah.
They're a tight family unit. Yeah. They're everything that Manly isn't.
Surely they've got to go to Canterbury soon or somewhere.
it's really, really strange. But the Trbojevic's and Manly seem to be
Celebrate Billy?
Billy, what medalist?
Come on, let's just celebrate Billy, shall we? Let's just get into it right now.
Fire it up! Ready to go! Fire it up! Ready to go! Fire it up! Ready to go!
Because Billy Slater is also the Wally Lewis Medal Player of the Series.
Oh, wow.
The marching band came down along Main Street. The soldier blues fell in behind. I looked across and there I saw Billy waiting to go and join.
Chris Gayle, Stephen Ferris, Fire Up. I don't think we need to get to the key change. We've done that.
Yeah, sure.
Billy, don't be a hero. He was fairly modest though when he accepted that award. But enough of Billy. No more Billy.
Was he? I thought he seemed to gleefully accept it.
There
wasn't a hint of embarrassment as you heard the sort of childlike "oh wow" as you heard repeatedly then.
Oh wow!
And he seemed to be, you know, in a sense being somewhat showy with it, sort of, you know, rather than bashful or abashed or something like that.
What he used to do.
Beach sprinter, right? No. Former jockey.
Yes, he's
a former Origin player.
Yes, he is a former.
He's a fog.
You're right, he's a fog. Chris Gayle, look, if anything is tailor-made for a cinematic experience, it's rugby league. I want to say to you that I flicked the channels, watched a bit of sport over the weekend. I watched the end of that Brazil
Belgium
game.
Right.
I mean, really, is that the best they got? Is that the best they got?
It's all they had time.
It's all they had?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? One state of Origin would wipe all of the World Cup out, just the blink of an eye.
I mean, how classic was Origin 3, Stephen? It had everything, didn't it?
It had everything.
Except the New South Wales one.
Now, I don't know which director you would choose. You know, you could probably go for an Australian director, I think,
Peter Weir?
Peter Weir. Bit of mystery. No, that's a bit too late, I think, for rugby league.
Yahoo Serious?
Yahoo Serious. Baz Luhrmann. Firework. Come on. Baz, we need you. The film version of Rugby League with Baz Luhrmann. We've often talked about Baz and how great that would be if we could pin him down, but he's now moved to New York. He probably didn't watch the game. Probably missed it.
That's a shame. He's probably trying to stream it or watch NRL I was.
But if we can have the Americans, you can go to Coppola.
Chimino. Before it went south.
Yeah.
Scorsese.
Or the French. Oh, Fassbinder. The French, Truffaut.
Goddard.
Something classic to do a film. Now, I believe there's two different documentaries happening at the moment in Rugby League. Can you illuminate our listeners, please, who want to get back to us on who their director of choice would be? 0409 945 945, please.
Yeah, I'd love to know who the listeners think would be the best director of a Rugby League movie. They've followed Freddie Fittler since he announced his candidacy, I think, for Origin coach.
Right.
And they've collected now 100 hours of footage, and they're going to try and edit that down to something interesting. So
100 hours of so what are the highlight moments or the quirky moments? Obviously, there's the mineral absorption process where he asks everybody, team and crew, to take their shoes off and walk the ovals that they're playing. Because, you know, a lot of Indigenous players, they like to put their hands in the dirt and rub the dirt to feel the dirt, to have a connection. Freddie has a different connection, doesn't he?
Well, I think if the documentary can explore the rather odd connection he seemed to have with Bluey the robot, that would be interesting.
Where does Bluey sleep at night is the next obvious question. Who puts him to bed?
Well, you know, if they reckon Blade Runner was adopting Philip K. Dick's Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep,
human beings,
could be a sequel here.
That is obviously the vexing issue on the mind of the future Homo sapien, isn't it? When you develop a cyborg, an alien, so close, if not better, then the ones you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, you know, you upgrade. I think that's the whole theme of Westworld, isn't it?
Yes.
And I tell you what, if this movie following Freddy's every move, including him selecting the pea jacket and that outfit, that'll be incredible. But I think we might finally get the answer to the age-old question, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Freddy F-R-E-D-D-I-E
or F-R-E-D-D-Y? Yes.
Because I'm not sure that anyone can definitively answer that except the great man himself.
No.
And that's what you want to see from a documentary. You want to sort of, you know, go behind the curtain, if
okay,
I may.
So some of the changes that he brought in, I think there was a whole new age philosophy. I think there was a bit of yoga, meditation, was there?
He had them training blindfold for Origin 3.
Wow.
May not have been the best decision.
So use your ears, other senses.
Yeah. Heighten other things,
yes,
like Daredevil.
Yes. Was that the touchy just calling me out? I think it was. I didn't go out. I'm sure I didn't. You know, you get a spatial awareness when you've got your eyes covered.
Ciro is a DJ. Incredible decision.
Now, the bus ride alone would be a movie.
Yeah.
Be Jack Kerouac on the road.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Incredible. You know, he'd be painting colours on the outside. Ken Kesey, where is he? You know?
I don't know. I can see Ciro in a remake of Natural Born Killers myself.
Natural Born Killers.
You know, from Dusk to Dawn. But what about you know, something about the Coogee, you know, Back to Coogee or something like that. Back to the Future 4.
Well, we do surf films very well.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
Endless Summer.
Endless Summer.
Endless Origin, 100 hours of footage.
Breath, The Last Wave. I don't know, all that sort of things. Big Wednesday. We don't do that. But, you know, something like that. You know what I mean? Big epic thing comes to a final. And then what do we get? I get today the headline: New South Wales camp fuming about Origin Award. Now, I know we've done that. We're not going to talk about the award.
Don't want to talk about it anymore.
But it calls him cranky here. I've never heard him being called cranky before.
He was upset.
Upset. Right.
He thought Tommy Turbo deserved not only a larger food budget, but also the Wally Lewis medal.
They said his eyes were red and bulging. There was even a hint of a scowl. And he said very flat, very emotional, and then fired up. I mean, you can be flat and fired up.
Yeah, it's going to be a great film, though, isn't it?
Great film. Right. I can't wait.
The movie I'd like to see a sequel to is Rabbit Proof Fence, which would be, you know, something that prevents Souths from ever winning the...
Or playing. Or playing again.
That's what should have happened Super League War.
Let's have a little bit of sympathy, please, because one of the great men of Australia, the Packer family...
Yes.
Well, it was news this week, of course, that young James, the final male heir to the throne, you know, has abdicated and sold everything off and signed himself out of every single financial
role, except
his father's foundation.
Doing the right thing for himself, I think.
Is he still involved as one of the owners of South Sydney? I ask you, Chris Gale.
Well, the answer to that is I can't answer that. It's a very, very secretive organisation.
Yes,
you sort of knock on the door. You know, we've repeatedly... having built on the fact that you had Peter Holmes at court on this show,
that's right.
Ask Russell Crowe to join us, sort of explain the labyrinth. I mean, there are two things that are very unclear right now. The ownership of Souths and how Billy Slater... Oh, sorry, I shouldn't mention that.
Don't mention it, please. Sorry, you're going to bring the whole state in a mood again, an angry, cranky mood again, with eyes red, bulgy, that sort of stuff. Now, because I'm worried about his health.
Sure.
Because he doesn't look great. I mean, I don't want to be the first person to cast, but he doesn't look great. Is being an owner of South Sydney good for your health, is the question.
Very, very good question.
I mean, I know producer Pat, who's a rabbit South fan, said, well, they're on top of the ladder, but I mean,
For how long?
Surely you can only go down from there.
That's right. And I mean, I don't know. Has Russell Crowe won an Oscar since he bought a share in South?
I don't think he has. I don't think things have gone as well as they used to.
Really, I mean, did you see Noah?
I didn't.
Hey, come on now.
Okay, so we'll leave that one unanswered, right?
Right.
Okay. Second film about rugby league. Do you know what is that again?
The Final Winter 2. So the not so final winter.
Who was the actor in that?
Matty Noble.
Matty Noble? Did he not break Twitter last week?
That's what I heard. He had a little bit of trouble.
I was in Sri Lanka and I heard about it.
Between one of the best named current rugby league players, of course, Slade Griffin, which does sound like a band from the 70s.
Slade Griffin, is that real?
And Jayden Brayley playing for the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks.
Very similar in tone and consonant.
Same position.
Okay.
17 times, apparently.
17 times he got it wrong.
But I love Matty Noble and I won't hear a word said against him.
And what do you love about him?
Well, he was tremendous in underbelly.
And do you love the fact that the face never changes?
Yeah.
And do you love the fact the voice never changes?
He is the Charles Bronson of Australia.
He is the Charles Bronson. He is.
And he's finally, we're on the map.
A permanent frown that just looks right through. And he goes, I'm a policeman.
He did play for Manly, of course, and that'd make you frown for the rest of your life, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, you know, if Matt, what's his name? Denya, what's his name? Is it Matt?
Matt Noble.
No, the guy who won the gold logie. Yes, if he can win a gold logie, surely Matty Noble could win something.
Well, I mean, is this some sort of, you know how, I don't want to get on a high horse, Stephen, but yeah. If I've got a moment, there's one thing I hate now, it's the modern children's party. Like, you know.
You hate that? Yeah.
Like, you know, pass the parcel.
Yes.
Every kid wins a prize. Like, in my era, only one kid won the prize at pass the parcel.
Only the big boy
and
in the corner.
It meant something. It meant something. Now it's not. It now seems in modern Australia. It now seems in modern Australia you can have your show axed. Chris. And you can win the gold logie. You can lose a series, only play in two games, Chris, and win the best player.
You are broadcasting on FBI. We believe in inclusiveness. We believe in everybody gets a go here, right? Everybody gets a go.
Yeah, and you know what happens with inclusiveness? South Sydney ends up on top of the
top
table.
Of
the fabric of society is just being rent asunder.
All right, we've got another text line saying, well, that's Steven Soderbergh for the Freddie Fittler film.
Yeah, you know, Freddie's 13.
Yeah, Freddie's 13.
Yeah, I actually watched Ocean's 11 on my diplomatic mission to Hong Kong. Movie, I thought. Really, every beat was predictable.
Clooney.
Soderbergh.
And Clooney's in trouble.
Soderbergh, look, I enjoyed Beyond the Candelabra. Don't get me wrong. But most of his movies, I mean, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, I saw very little sex in it.
Who uses videotape anyway?
What's this other movie?
I don't know. Didn't he come in to do something? Sydney Theatre Company, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Know, overrated.
All right, but now apparently, we did talk about. Look. Nobody loves Doogs or Fergo anymore.
At all.
Did they get trotted up, farewelled?
Yeah.
Did they? I didn't see it.
What a good point.
Yeah.
Look at all this palaver about departing Queenslanders.
Yeah.
Where was the valet Aaron Woods?
Yeah, you know? Yes.
Farewell. Game well played, Josh Dugan.
Thank you very much,
tremendous
Josh.
Tremendous contribution, Blake Ferguson.
You were one of the building blocks to get us here today.
Michael Jennings, we salute you.
Exactly.
Where was that stuff?
Yeah. Now, the other forgotten man, Mitchell Pearce.
Who?
Mitchell Pearce, of course, was the building block to where we are today. We all stood on his shoulders, his drunken sodden shoulders, as he was in the gutter, you know, down at the Chloe, you know, to get us here today.
Headed to Origin of Bloomin'.
If it wasn't for that dog, that little fluffy poodle, you know.
Who can forget his term at the beach? House.
All that stuff. If it wasn't for all that stuff, we wouldn't be here today, right?
I know.
Winners.
We'd have no
winners.
Show.
Winners. Exactly. We'd have no show. Now, apparently, they're going to make a movie of it. And I reckon that's an incredible plot. Don't you reckon? Rivers of Grog. You got that?
Yes.
You got all sorts of, well, you've got, you know, little nefarious late night activities. Do you remember when Sydney had that?
Well,
remember when Sydney had stuff like that?
They tell me about these tastes.
You go to the Bondi Hotel and then you go somewhere else. You know?
It seems like a distant memory.
It's not real, surely.
Yeah.
Surely it's not real.
Mel's bubble butt, of course, not forgetting her contribution.
The yellow dress. The yellow dress at the beach house. Wow. Now there's a movie. Who could direct that one? That would be somebody a little bit more saucy on the edge, you know, perhaps. Who was the fellow that used to do those films out of a back lot down in Los Angeles that maybe did Frankenstein Unbound, you know, or maybe John Waters?
Well, Paul Morrissey, perhaps, the Warholator. Oh, what about Ken Russell?
Ken Russell
would do a good Mitchell Pearce story.
Yes. Caligula, did you see that?
Oh, well.
Man, now there's a film.
Funded by dear old Bob Guccione from Penthouse.
Yes.
With Malcolm McDowell.
Yes, and John Gielgud.
Tremendous.
In a toga.
There's nothing I like more than a historical drama.
An old Englishman in a toga playing a Roman, eating grapes and doing bad things to people. That's great. Yeah,
that sounds like Mitchell Pearce.
Mitchell Pearce. Now, what sort of, we could put it out there, a title for the film about Mitchell Pearce, 0409945. Get your thinking hats on. We might just come back to that. What do you think? And see what people have come up with.
FBI Radio would like to warn listeners that the following program contains some sporting cliches, lowbrow humour, baseless defamatory remarks, and is not considered suitable for anyone over an IQ of 75.
Yes, Freddie's called in. He's not going to tell us. He's going to keep the mystery alive, whether it's a Y or an IE.
I like that. I like that. You don't want to give away everything. You know, he needs to write a memoir at some stage.
Yes.
And that'll be the title.
Look, even though he had an open season, everything was on board. You could talk to him anytime during the game, anywhere at all, approach him, slap his hand. You could even copy him wearing his nice black sort of skin tight jackets and peacoats.
And he was given a lot of credit for making the players and himself completely accessible to the media.
Yeah.
You were, however, asked to submit questions beforehand. We applied for our press pass and said, there's just one question, Freddie, is it I, E, or Y? And we were banned. By the way, cracked actor.
Yes. David Bowie.
For Mitchell Pearce. The beautiful third act of the movie. And I was just saying off mic previously, I watched Jaws the other day. And it seems to be only two acts in that movie.
Another 70s classic.
Shark attacks and chasing the shark. I don't know.
Then killing the shark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
drinking.
The third act of the Mitchell Pearce story is, of course, the comeback from the pec injury. Yeah. Which will be all revealed tonight as they take on the mighty Parramatta Eels, Newcastle Knights.
The mighty Parramatta Eels.
And we'll see whether the pec cracks.
So it's still a story without an ending.
Mm.
Well, somebody texted in and said, Wes Anderson could be making the film about, I'm assuming about Freddie, you know.
Well, you know, didn't he make Isle of Dogs, sort of about how well Canterbury's going this year? How about that? 3 tries in 5 minutes. That guy, Bailey, is it? Is that the name of Martin? Reece Martin? Scored 24 points for the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs.
Is that a debut?
Not a debut, but certainly the most points scored by anyone in a losing effort. It's kind of like you could score the most points in a game and lose. It's like you could play on the losing team in an Origin series.
And win the Wally Lewis medal. Just like that.
This is Australian society.
That's the beautiful thing about rugby league. Anything is possible.
Every kid wins a prize and this happens.
Exactly. And everyone's got a chance, so it's the game for everybody.
God, inclusiveness. What a ridiculous idea that
now,
is.
Now, Mitchell Pearce ideas for movies. Mitch's Bitches.
Isle of Dogs.
Mucker Spring Farm, New South Wales. Well, there you go. Thanks, Mucker. That's great. That's not bad at all. What about being Mitchell Pearce?
Yes.
I mean, you get in there and there's nothing going on. There's nothing in the brain. Being Mitchell Pearce. Nothing going on.
Is it inside John Malkovich?
Is it inside or being John
Malkovich? And being there? Being John Malkovich?
I don't know. We're the cinephile. And you, Chris Gayle.
Yeah. I love being there with Peter Sellers.
Inside John Malkovich. Anyway, we're inside the head of Mitchell Pearce. Let's have a listen. That's good.
It's not bad.
Not a bad. Not a great movie, though.
You need to be clear thinking when you're getting out there on the field.
Yes. What's eating Mitchell Pearce? Many things over the years, I'm sure. Well, probably his father. There's got to be a father-son film.
Well, you know, I always say about Junior Pearce, and don't get me wrong, I love the guy, but he was always touting the fact that he would eat the barbecue chicken but not the skin. And, you know, that makes me guilty every single time I eat the skin.
Do you eat the bones too?
Anthony
Bourdain style. Eat everything.
I enjoy a good crunch, don't get me wrong.
Nothing like a good beak. Yeah.
Is that what they call it?
Yes, I believe the birds, I eat the beak and the claws and everything.
They eat the bag that the chicken comes in. They don't even take it out of the bag.
And then they stick the feathers on afterwards and run around Redfern Oval.
And look at them, Anthony Seibold. They're doing well.
Number one.
Look, good on your rabbits.
It's a crazy old game, rugby league. It really is. Now, this is a crazy story, and this will open up a whole lot of questions, and I hope. Look, if this doesn't upset James Packer, I don't know what will, really.
Well, then tread carefully.
I've read very carefully. It says New South Wales Premiership ring seized during arrest over break-ins. Police are searching for the owner of a South Sydney Rabbitohs 2014 Premiership ring, which was uncovered during an investigation into a series of break-ins. The New South Wales Central Coast is a troubled area, Chris. Did you know that?
Well, they don't have a rugby league team, Stephen. That's the part. I mean, if they were given a team, all this social unrest would just drift away.
Yeah, they'd be satisfied, but they don't. So they've got to do something at night. They go out to get up to nonsense. There's Gosford man, Jared Potts, who was 21, was arrested on Saturday when he allegedly stole jewellery, cash and 2 cars from a property in Pickett's Valley. Never heard of Pickett's Valley, but it does sound a little bit sort of moonshine and sort of guns, doesn't it? You know what I mean?
It's probably some nice housing. It's probably a gated community. It's probably very upmarket.
Toothless men, you know, scary guy. I don't know. While searching Potts' home, detectives stumbled on the mystery premiership ring and have since been trying to find the owner. Well, South Sydney's the owner. Right?
This, of course, brings back a lot of memories because it turns out there were 73 premiership rings made by Russell Crowe.
Only Russell Crowe would do 73 when you're supposed to only have, 21 or something?
That's right.
And one or two for the coach.
So it was 20 for the players and coach, and he just reeled off another 53 for the South
just
staff
for the hell of
and
it.
Every hangers
and
on.
I bet
you're
he paid
imagine.
For it too, didn't he?
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Dylan Walker dropped his off the ferry. right, never to be found again.
What was he, Three Sheets, was he? Yeah. So, what was he singing? Roll out the barrels.
Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run.
How do I know what they are?
And then, of course, Abby Carousel ended up in a hall of amphetamines and steroids in a raid on the Bikies Rebels game.
Now we're
talking.
See, now this is like Chopper, right?
Forget making a movie.
Soderbergh couldn't do
forget
it.
Forget making a movie about Mitchell Pearce. No, we do some variation of Lord of the Rings about the journey of the South Sydney Premiership rings?
The Lord of the Rings.
They're scattered everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great film. Anyway,
interesting, no one's come forward to claim ownership of this because it'd be embarrassing to have learned that, you know, if you've fallen on hard times and hocked your Premiership ring.
Right, so when it came to Appesize, which is found with amphetamines, that was a Rebels motor game, was it? Motorcycle game?
Yeah, motorcycle game, yeah.
I suppose they wouldn't. Whatever money you get off them, you'd take it, wouldn't you? What do you want? You want my finger and the ring?
Take the ring.
Take the ring. Have it. Well, this is a story, isn't it?
It is a
and
story.
And no wonder James has probably distanced himself from this episode.
Yeah, sure. Know, yeah, still. Top of the table.
He's probably thinking, where did I get what's that bill? 73 rings? How much? $3 million? How did I cut that one? So, well, that's a very, very good story, Chris. Now, what do you know about the brain bunker?
Not much.
No?
No.
Okay, the NRL brain bunker. This is the same brain bunker that Sutton works out on, and they're touchy.
General Patton.
Jesus.
You've got Horse Maxwell. You know, it's the place where all referees go to die, basically, is the bunker.
And what about the Badgers?
Yeah, the Badgers.
So there's a movie.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Badger.
Yeah, but it needs, like Mr. and Mrs. Smith or Mr. and Mrs. Jones or whatever, but it needs a feel-good ending. I mean, Casey needs to get a run on the field.
Well, so what about the best referee in the country, Matty Chicken?
Yeah, well, you know.
Is there something fishy afoot with this?
Every referee you talk to at the moment says we're one big happy family. If ever that's just a tip-off that things aren't going
that
referee? Well.
They look happy. Yeah. You seen him after the game? They look happy. The NRL is trialling a concussion bunker where experts monitor matches on large television screens for signs of players injured by blows to the head. And instantly, oh, God. That really excites me. Does it excite you?
Not really, but I mean, when you spend, I don't know, $4 million on that thing up the road at Redfern, and then all they got to do is look at about three no-try calls, they've got to get more use out of the thing. It's like the Uber principle, Stephen. You can't build this technology and then not rent it out for useless tasks monitoring brains.
You know what
brains.
I'll say to you quietly? I'll say,
how can you monitor a brain on a video screen?
Exactly.
You can't see through the head.
Modern science, Chris, you wouldn't understand. Digital technology.
That's
you have
true.
No idea.
Well,
but, you know,
I tried to get Watch NRL to work from Hong Kong. No luck.
No luck. Thank you very much, Watch NRL. And Hong Kong, that's a home of tech. But, if you can't get it there, you can't get anywhere.
It confused me.
I would say that what they'll say quietly, I'll say, well, it's really about the insurance. Chris, you know, if we don't do this, then we might be hit
player
by insurance
welfare,
down the track. We'll
player
be hit with millions of dollars and we can't afford it, so let's do it right
welfare.
Now. Now, Chris, that's very exciting. So now, if I could say to you, anything else caught your eye?
But there are a lot of things that have caught my eye.
What about, I tell you what caught my eye overseas. I heard about Canberra celebrating.
Yes, Jack White in 6 weeks.
No, the disgraceful celebration of a win. Joey Lelua.
Well, I tell you what, Todd Greenberg's got a word to say. And can I just simply take this opportunity to say, good morning, Mr. Greenberg, and I wish all the very, very best to you and your family and all the wonderful, wonderful times that you have ahead for all of us. But
how much do you like him?
I like him an extreme amount.
Yes, okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but no, you're talking about Joey Lelua.
Yes. What happened? Because I just saw an image of them standing over, lording it over, threatening, bullying style. Tell me what, give me a picture of that one.
I was distracted by the crowded hill at Belmore. Well, in fact, there was no one on it. But as we were mentioning before, Canterbury Bankstown managed to butcher a lead and the Canberra Raiders scored 3 tries in the last 6 minutes, including Lelua bowling over the Morris boys to score. And instead of celebrating with his mates, as you think a typical good guy would
high
do.
High five, a slap and hug and all that.
He just gave the dogs a bit of lip, and I got to say, I get it.
Oh, okay. You get it.
I get it.
You're a disgrace to the human race, Chris Garley.
You've got to be who you are. You can't. The idea of Lelua just turning around and sort of hugging a teammate as opposed to giving the defeated, vanquished opposition player a spray would be anathema to me.
The last
Stephen.
Man who was very good at that?
Tell me.
Hodges. Remember that grub?
Well, he's on Queenslanders only, isn't he?
Can I just say, we haven't talked about the building of the shame file or the Shame Museum wing. But Josh Maguire, did he perform any way whatsoever that you saw? I didn't see he was really quiet, wasn't he?
He didn't get much game time because, again, I think he's been carrying injuries all the way through. But there was one very, very... I love the dressing room footage. I love being able to go behind the candelabras, if we can use that analogy again. And in the warm-up to Origin 3, you saw basically Kevvie Walters walking around on his own, looking stressed. Mm. And Maguire had a trainer. And the ritual that he was going through, there were puffers and potions and pills and whatever. Maguire is a very, very interesting cat.
Right.
And a cat.
And a cat. Now, Papali. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about... I mean, I don't know much about nature and Attenborough stuff, you know, but certain creatures come out of little sacks and they grow into beautiful things.
You're thinking of pupae, I think.
Pupae. They wriggle around on the ground. Papali reminds me of one of those things.
He ain't no butterfly.
He ain't no butterfly. Is he gonna bloom and evolve into something pretty at some point?
Well,
he's not pretty now.
Under the tutelage of knuckle-cracking Ricky Stewart. Did he get it all the way through to Sri Lanka? You might have missed that Ricky Stewart's developed this habit in press conferences of cracking his knuckles.
Ooh. No.
It's really, really disconcerting.
Does he eat things too? They do it weird down in Canberra, don't they?
Oh, it's pretty strange.
And really, it's probably not Canberra. It's probably Queanbeyan or somewhere where they do weird stuff, isn't it?
That's what I said. Jack Whiten only got 6 weeks. It's like Canberra, who's been tough on Carney, Ferguson, Toogan. They finally crack. Right. And the minute they crack, Mr. Greenberg, hello, Todd, comes down to them a ton of bricks.
So
Can't win in Canberra,
Newcastle
literally.
Versus Parramatta, that's a riveting game tonight.
I'm staying home tonight. Okay. I'm cancelling everything.
Penrith versus Sharks, that's a do or die for someone. Was it number eight?
No, I think they're both fine.
Are they in the eight, are they?
No, they're comfortable.
I'm looking at the top four.
They're really comfortable.
What's the top four, Chris?
It's the four leading teams on the premiership
table. Who's in that at the moment?
I think South Sydney might be there.
Number one.
The St. George Illawarra
Equal
Dragons.
Number one.
Melbourne Storms would be up there.
Gee, that's awful, isn't it?
And I'm feeling Penrith Panthers. Would that be...
Anybody?
Would I be close
Anybody?
There? Yep, got it, yeah.
What about those Chooks that were supposed to be top of the ladder?
Yeah, top eight.
Top eight, are
yeah,
they?
They're in sixth spot, apparently.
Yeah. That robber, he's a man of integrity.
He's re-signed for 4 years.
Is he just?
Which means that the Roosters fans are condemned for four more years of front door, eyes up footy.
Front door, eyes up footy. And on the lookout for the next star player, right? They can buy for somebody.
Someone else.
Chris Gar, thank you very much. Good to be back at Fire Up.
It's just so good to be back, Stephen.
10 o'clock, and we will be back next Friday.
Can't wait.
Okay.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab.
Fire!